Matthew chapter 3. The message today is about God's beloved, faithful Son. Last week, we considered God's trusty friends, God's servants that were trustworthy. And this week, we're going to consider God's beloved, trustworthy, or faithful Son. Matthew 3, verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway from the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove, and coming upon him. And lo, a voice out of the heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, Hebrews 3, it would seem strange to have to read other passages telling us about the faithfulness of the Son, but you'll see why, and I will tell you presently. In chapter 3, it's prefaced by this remark in 2:17, Wherefore it behooved him in all things to be made like unto his brethren, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Notice, a faithful high priest. Now, verse 1 of chapter 3, Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of an heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession. Now, let's see what it says about him. It says concerning him that in verse 2, that he was faithful to him that appointed him, as also was Moses in all his house. For he hath been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by so much as he that built the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by someone, but he that built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were afterward to be spoken. But Christ as a son over his house, whose house are we, if we hold fast our boldness and the glorying of our hope firm unto the end. Notice, God's faithful son, faithful over all his house. One other passage in John 17, verse 4. I glorified thee on the earth, having finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Verse 6. I manifested thy name unto the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Verse 7. Now they know that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are from thee. For the words which thou gavest me I have given unto them. Verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for those whom thou hast given me out of the world. Verse 11, I am no more in the world. These are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep them. Now, verse 12, while I was with them, I kept them. And so forth. And so forth. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that in the midst of failure, imperfection, disappointment, we are glad that you have set before our eyes one that is the epitome of perfection, of encouragement, of glorification of your name. We are thankful, our Father, that he is the one to whom we can look at such times, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, Lord, we are thankful for what feeble testimonies you can give us through men, some of them greater than others. We think of the things that Samson did, and yet we think of his sin. We think of David, the man after your heart, and yet we think of his sin. We think of so many servants, like unto Peter, and yet we think of their sin. We think of thy Son, our Father, and we can think of no sin. We are glad of this. We are glad that in the midst of compromises, of excuses, of extenuating circumstances, there is one upon whom we can gaze, and he is beauty, and he is perfection. And we desire to consider somewhat about him this morning. So prepare our hearts to receive thy message, our Father, and empower lips. And we would pray that, as you promised, if we confess our sins, you would be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, that you would do this. Glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The first thing that seems at first so easy to tell you about is difficult to tell you about. It's this. Is the Lord Jesus God's faithful Son or God's faithful servant? You say, in Hebrews chapter 3, you read that Moses was faithful as a servant, but then it contrasted the faithfulness of Moses as a servant with the Lord Jesus faithful as a son. You say the answer is easy. He is God's faithful Son. I can't argue with that. Hebrews 3 says, Christ is faithful as a son over his house. But let me ask you this. Have you ever heard of a passage in Philippians 3 where it says that our Savior, who was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant? Yes. And as that servant, he was obedient unto death? Yes. Well, is he God's faithful son or is he God's faithful servant? You say, he must be both. That is the marvel. And that is why there is a contrast between Moses and Christ. There is nothing that God should ask you to do that you would feel too exalted not to do. Some might say, this is below me. There is no servant that God has that could ever plead that excuse to God. I am too exalted to stoop to do such a work. But that is why the marvel of Jesus Christ is set before us in Philippians 3, that he was the one who was too exalted to be called upon to do the work that had to be done. And that is why he is called God's glorious Son, God's marvelous servant. Why? Because he was with the Father in eternity. He was loved by the Father in eternity. And there was no demand upon him to leave the Father's side and come into the world. But, just as God asked the question in Isaiah 6, whom shall I send and who shall go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Here is a world of lost sinners. And the Father says, who will go and save these miserable wretches on earth? And the Lord Jesus, greater than Isaiah, said, here am I, send me. And that is the marvel. So he is God's beloved, faithful Son who took the form of a servant. And most of the time when he was on earth, the marvel is this. He was looked upon as people would say, you are a servant. You're not a son. In fact, that's why people wanted to stone him to death. Because he told them indirectly, and it is ever so difficult to find direct references when our Savior called himself the Son of God. He did on occasion. In John 5 and in John 11, John 3, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. But most of the time, he would make references and claims like this. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Well, if he called God his Father, that means he's his Son. Yes, but only on those few occasions that I told you did he ever call himself the Son of God. And when he did, that is when the Jews rose up in anger against him. For this reason, they understood what it meant when the Savior said that he was the Son of God. Two accusations were made against him, and both of them were false. They said he broke the Sabbath day. He never broke the Sabbath day. It said he blasphemed because he called God his own Father, making himself equal to God. Indeed, he did certain things on the Sabbath day, but he never broke the Sabbath. Indeed, he called God his own Father, making himself equal with God. But that was not blasphemy. When the scripture says, who counted it not robbery to be equal with God? How could it be blasphemy when he called God his own Father, making himself equal with God? You say, well, if a man is equal with God, if he makes himself equal with God, that isn't blasphemy. And yet the Jews did not know that. But the Savior said this concerning himself, even though he was the Son. Though he was the Son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And so here is the Son equal with the Father, and yet he makes himself of no reputation, and he takes the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men. And that is the marvel. If we see a man like Moses becoming a servant to the nation of Israel, it is something that is due our respect because of the greatness of this man Moses. Here is Pharaoh. That was the highest. And Pharaoh's son was Moses. And it says, when Moses became a certain age, it entered into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. He, Pharaoh's son, is going to visit slaves, and yet they are called his brethren. That's why I read you in Hebrews 2 about becoming partaker with his brethren. Since then the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself also in like manner partook of the same. And having done that, he could become a faithful and a merciful high priest. Here is Moses, and even though his lot is one of exaltation, originally he was supposed to die, but God in his providence prevented his death and exalted him to the throne. And so here is one that was no better than those slaves in Egypt, except by an accident of faith, as men would say, it's the providence of God that God was looking over it. And so here is a slave that had been made the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but he is a slave, and he becomes a servant in the midst of service. But that is no great thing other than faith had exalted him, and he humbled himself. That is the greatness. So many of us, if we had an opportunity to get away from what we are now, our low position, we would seek the highest position. But what Moses experienced was this. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and having attained the highest position, he renounced that position and took the lowest position. That is the marvel. It said that Moses, by faith, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So that's why he's to be congratulated. Moses did not have to become ill treated with the slaves of which he was one. But the difference is this. even though there is a beautiful likeness between Moses and our Savior, the difference is this. The Lord Jesus was with God and was God. There was never anything of the flesh or limitation in the Lord Jesus. And it said, count it not the being equal with God a thing to be grasped. He didn't count it robbery, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant. And so he who was God in heaven with the Father became a servant on earth. And yet all along, he was God's faithful servant, but at the same time, he was God's obedient servant, as well as God's faithful Son. And so he was both. If you look upon the Lord Jesus, and if someone asks, what is he? You can say, he is God's servant. What is he? He is God's Son, because he's both. And the marvel is this, that being God's Son, he would take the form of a servant. And yet, this is the thing that pleases the Father. The thing that pleases the Father most about the Lord Jesus are those things that you and I can obtain, can copy, but we do not want to copy. And the things that we think are important to the Father are not important to the Father. The Savior said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life for the sheep. The Father loves him, not that he might get high, but that being high, he laid down his life for the sheep. And that's what it says in the first epistle of John. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You can do that, but we think that's no exalted thing to do. And yet the Lord Jesus, who would lay down his life for the sheep, the Father says, I love you for that. So self-renunciation is something that the Father loves in the Son. And any time the Father looks upon one that humbles himself, it says, he that humbleth himself shall be exalted, and he that exalteth himself shall be abased. And the Lord Jesus never exalted himself. And this is what he said. He said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. He said, I am in the midst of you as one who serves. So if you looked at the Lord Jesus at the Last Supper, you would think that he was the servant, that he was the one who was supposed to do the menial task. But God introduces that chapter telling us, Jesus, knowing who he was, where he came from, understanding everything, it says, he laid aside his garments, girded himself with a towel, and stooped down and washed the disciples' feet. And so if someone came in and did not know who Jesus was, they would just disregard him and call him over to wash their feet. They would think that he was the servant, and yet he is God's Son, whom the eye of the Father had watched his whole life long. And so, for that reason, the Lord tells us in Matthew 3 that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That is God's comment on his life for the first 30 years before he entered his public ministry. My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But now, I told you I would explain this. Why am I not able to read in the gospel the word faithful describing the Lord Jesus? Because God reserves that for portions like the epistle to the Hebrews telling us the greatness of his faithfulness there, giving us examples of that faithfulness in the gospel, but describing that faithfulness, its nature, its fullness in the epistles. That is the way that God does it. But there are two keys, and that is why it was difficult to put this message together this morning, because it says the Lord Jesus was faithful in all God's house. You must understand this. Moses was faithful in his house, and Christ is faithful in his house. We as Christians are spoken of as the body of Christ, as the house of God. And so here, It's Moses being faithful in his house. That means among the children of Israel. Christ is faithful in his house. That means among the people of God. It's a figure of the people of God as a house, like the church is the body of Christ. And it says, Christ is faithful in all his house as a son. All right. You say, well, why doesn't it tell me that faithfulness? The key is this. The key is twofold. You look at the faithfulness of Moses in his house, in Exodus and in the Pentateuch, and then you consider the areas in which Moses was faithful, and you say, why, it's elementary. In those same areas, but to an infinite degree greater than Moses, he is more faithful. Yes. And the other key is this, what I read to you in John 17. Here, in John 17, the Lord Jesus, in intimacy, is revealing, not in words of boasting, but in simple declaration of facts that occurred during his life. He is telling the Father of his faithfulness. So, if you want to have interpreted to you that Christ was faithful as a son in all God's house among the people of God, what you do is to read how Moses was faithful in his house among the children of Israel, and then you compare that to Christ being faithful in his house, the people of God. And then you read in his prayer in John 17 the words that Christ spoke, and then you will see the different ways in which the Savior proved himself to be faithful to the Father. You say, why, of course. So, what you have to understand, first of all, is the faithfulness of Christ in being willing to renounce equality with God, to be made in the form of a servant. And you say, well, that's what you told me about in the life of Moses. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and yet he renounced that, choosing rather to suffer ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. For he looked for the recompense of reward. So Moses chose to humble himself and be a servant among the children of Israel. Yes. And I told you that in Philippians 2, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of man. And so you say, so Moses was faithful in, first of all, being willing to renounce the throne to become a servant, God's servant, among the people, the children of Israel. And that is how Christ was faithful, first of all. Faithful in having a love that was equal to the Father's, in willing to leave heaven and come to earth to die for sinners. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. Notice, God commended his love. God's love is in giving his son. God so loved the world. Christ's love is in giving himself for sinners. And so God loved the sinners and was willing to give up his son. And Christ loved the sinners and he was willing to give up his life for those sinners. And so this is how he was faithful. The Father's love equaled by the Son's love and a sacrifice for the Father in behalf of men that was infinitely more valuable than the sacrifice of Moses renouncing the throne of Pharaoh. And Christ renounces the throne of heaven. And he comes down and he's made in the likeness of men. So that is the first instance. But now, the Lord Jesus starts telling us about the things when he was on earth. And the key, if you read Hebrews chapter 3, it says, he was faithful, Moses was faithful in all his house concerning the testimony that he was about to receive. You say, the testimony that Moses was about to receive, yes. He began to receive it at Mount Sinai when God spoke to him and gave him the Ten Commandments. But then God spoke to him and gave him all the laws that you find, the statutes, the judgments, the teachings, in the whole of Exodus through Deuteronomy. The Father gave Moses all of those teachings. And it says that Moses was faithful in receiving those teachings from his God and then imparting them to the nation of Israel. You may read in Exodus through Deuteronomy, and Moses, who received these teachings from the Father, imparted them to the children of Israel, orally and in written form, and we hold them in our hands this day. Now, the Lord Jesus said, I did the same thing. He said, the things which you told me, I told them. The things that you gave me, I gave unto them. You say, well, God gave teachings to Moses, and Moses gave them to the children of Israel, and the Father gave teachings to Christ, and Christ gave them to his followers as well. You say, I see. Moses, faithful in going in the first place, and then taking from God, and then giving to the people the teachings as they came from God. Most important. This is what it says about the tabernacle. It says, you be sure that you make it according to the pattern that I showed thee in the mount. And Moses did that very thing. And that is why I rejoice and I embrace this book as God's inspired word, because the Lord Jesus said, the words that you gave me, I have given unto them. And he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And so the Lord Jesus has faithfully received the words from the Father and has given them to his people. This is what he said in the upper room discourse. He said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. For all that I heard from my Father, I have given unto you. You say, then there is the faithful taking of the word from the Father and then imparting it to the people. You say, yes, that's it. And not only so, but there was the obedience unto death, the death of the cross, this faithfulness that Moses could not boast of. Moses could boast of faithfulness in all God's house, except when it came to the second time that they wanted water, and it was to come from the rock. And Moses wants to speak to the rock, and Moses smote the rock the second time. Twice he smote it, and God said, you have misrepresented me in the eyes of the people. Tell me at any moment in our Savior's life when he ever misrepresented the Father in the eyes of the people. You say he never did. And yet the Lord Jesus said, I glorify thee on the earth, having finished, having completed the work which you gave me to do. And here is Moses, who was to lead them out, and he was to lead them in. But at the end of the journey in the wilderness after 40 years, God says to Moses, now, you climb the mountain, you look out, see over the promised land, you're not going to take my people in, Joshua is going to take them in. And so here, Moses failed, and the Lord Jesus was the one who is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one who brought us out of sin, and by God's grace, he is the one who will take us into heaven. He took us spiritually out of that place of doom, Egypt. And by God's grace, he will spiritually take us into the presence of God, heaven. He will take us spiritually there. And he is the resurrection and the life, and he will take us spiritually there as well. Now, this, because it's so beautiful. Moses is seen as the intercessor. Not only was Aaron the official high priest, but Moses also was the priest apart from Aaron. And when Israel sinned, it was Moses who in Exodus 32 and 34 went into the presence of God and interceded and caused the wrath of God not to fall upon the nation of Israel. God said to Moses, he said, set aside, let my anger wax hot, and I will destroy them, and I will make of you a greater nation. And Moses pleaded with his father, no, no. And so God stayed his hand of wrath. And Israel was spared. And I remember our Savior, two prayers, one of them in a parable, and one of them a literal fact. When here is this fig tree, and the Father looks at it, he says, why, this fig tree is here these years, and it bears no fruit. Why does it come to the ground? Dig it up. Destroy it. And it says that the husbandman said, no, No, he said, give me a year. He said, let me dig about it. Let me enrich the soil. If it bear fruit, yes. If not, then you can do with it what you want to. That is a picture of Christ interceding for Israel. And on the cross, our Savior prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Here is Moses who saved Israel from a physical destruction. But here is the Lord Jesus who can save mankind from spiritual destruction as well. And that's why it says in Hebrews 2:17 that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest. And the difference is this, that when Moses would pray for the people, he would come out and he would rebuke them and revile the people and tell them how sinful they were. And the Lord Jesus faithfully would tell the people the same. But in the case of Peter, he said, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times this night. He said, but I pray for you that your faith fail not. And so here is Moses that prays for Israel, and God knows whether he wanted to, how much sincerity and fervor and love there were in his heart when he prayed for them. But we know the heart of the Lord Jesus. When he could pray for those that nailed him to the cross and those that were responsible for his being on the cross, when he could pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And our Savior is praying to the Father in John 17 concerning these very things that Moses had to pray about concerning the nation of Israel, his house. And now the Lord Jesus is praying concerning his house, the people that are going to follow him. And the Savior does this, and I'm so glad. For 3 days and 3 nights, our Savior is going to be in the tomb. And so he says, Father, he says, when I was in the world with them, I kept them in thy name. He said, now, I'm going to leave the world, and I want you to keep them in thy name. You see, not for a moment does he leave these few sheep in the wilderness unattended, but he said, I kept them, and not one of them perished. And that is what Christ can do for you. He can keep you from perishing. He can save you to the uttermost, all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for the people. And now he is alive forevermore. And as he shepherded his people on earth, he is called at the end of Hebrews the shepherd of the sheep, that great shepherd of the sheep. And now the Lord Jesus, as a priest, as a shepherd, as a son, as a servant, has proclaimed himself and been proclaimed by mankind as God's faithful, beloved son, and has proved himself a servant. And what has God done? God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that is the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And that servant who bowed and washed feet of sinners, in the coming day, every knee shall bow to him, and he who stooped the lowest has been exalted the highest, and God proclaims it from heaven, and someday our lips shall proclaim it as well. God's faithful, beloved Son. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for this one that you sent from heaven. We cannot conceive of such a thing, that he who was with God and was God would become flesh and dwell among us. And then, dwelling among us, take that form of a servant and then become sin for us on the cross. We thank you, our God, for the lowliness, the condescension of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We are glad that we know where he is at this day. He is at your right hand. By faith, we see him there. We are so glad that he is exalted. And we have the hope that he's coming back to receive us unto himself, because he is your faithful servant, and he promised, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And as Moses was unable to take them in, thy Son shall be faithful and take us in. And so we thank you, Father, for your beloved, faithful servant, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray and give thee thanks. Amen. The meeting is over.